it's that missing puzzle sometimes that we feel like, man, what did it feel like? I have an emptiness. I listened to all the sermons. I did all the things. I've been obedient. I've done this. I've done this. But it still feels like something is missing inside my heart. And when you have an understanding that love is able to reach over and heal any situation in your life. And when I say that, I remember, and I told you the story before when I was having a leg injury at UPS, and when I went to the doctor, they said I had something in my leg that was causing my bones to rub together. And I remember listening to Andrew Womack's ministry and listening to all these things about healing and healing. And I was getting frustrated and frustrated because my leg was still hurting. Yeah, I was still having this pain. And then I was calling off work because of this, and that would even conflict my heart even more. Like, Lord, I've done this, I've listened to this, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been, you know, I went down my little list of things we do to, you know, appease God. And God said to me by the Holy Spirit, he says, you've been talking about everything you've been doing, but you ain't said nothing about what I've done for you. He said, you are in a stuck place. And this puzzle is not going to be complete until you start saying, what did I do for you? You read, you pray, you did, you did. You don't do this for you. You do this so you can see me. You're not coming to church saying, okay, I did my mission today, so I'm good for the rest of the week. No, the sacrifice was already paid 2,000 years ago. You come to church so you can witness something. So you can hear something that's going to change your life. Because you can't go somewhere that you haven't been and that you haven't heard. The reason why you're at Grace Family Outreach today is because somebody told you about it. The reason why you go into victory is because somebody told you about it. It's pretty simple. You can't go nowhere you can't hear. And faith comes by what? Hearing. So I heard for the first time, by his stripes I am healed. I went back to work that next day and I said, I'm walking on this leg. And it was hurting. I was like, hey, God, you sure about that? And he said, keep saying it, keep saying it. He said, no, now you say it because it's a reality. Not because you're trying to get something to happen. And he said, you know what? It goes even deeper than that. It's not really about your leg. It's about if you really think I love you. Even when I was, you know, I had a little learning disability in school, and I was praying for my mind to catch up with the other students, and I was so angry that I can't get it, like thinking. And when he healed my mind, he said, it's not about you trying to catch up. It's, you don't think I love you like I love them other students. He said, you're suffering from a broken heart. Not from the actual physical pain. The tears was not coming because of real leg. I know how to deal with pain. The tears was coming is, God, do you love me? Do you care about me like you care about this other person? He said, that's where the suffering has to stop. He said, stop doubting that God don't love you. When you know that God loves you, when you pray and lay hands on somebody, it's over. You ain't thinking about, you know, sometimes God, oh, I got to get that doubt out of my mind. Doubt can't come out your mind if you don't think God loves you. Doubt can't come out your mind if you don't think God loves you. I heard a minister, and he was preaching real good, saying, love is the chain on that wheel that's moving that wheel. And the Holy Spirit said, no. That's good though. He said, love is the power that's moving the chain. The life won't cycle until you understand this is not what I'm doing for God. It's what God is doing for me. When I got out of that mentality, that's when I started living. Not for God, God living through me. Let's read. Galatians 5:6 says,
For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Back in the days, over 2,000 years ago, if you wasn't circumcised, this is almost like you weren't holy. You wasn't blessed. You didn't do the mandate of the Jewish commission to circumcise. So if you were circumcised, they would actually look in your stall to see if you were circumcised, to see if you was holy. So they had some peeking Tom saying, let me see if he's holy or not. And let me see if he's been circumcised. But he said, it's not about circumcision. I believe in circumcision. But I'm just saying, it wasn't about it to obtain righteousness with God. It was about Jesus dying for you. But don't we do the same thing today? Whether some churches, if it's makeup or whether it's, do you have a dress on? Let me see if you really holy by these attributes and not by what Jesus has done. Oh. Church hat. It says this. None of that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. But it's this. But faith which works by love. What's going to move the scooter on your heart is knowing that God died for me and can't nobody do nothing about it.
Yes, yes.
So when I pray to God, I know he hears me.
Yes.
He hears my cry. Today, there's a rampant way of depression. If you can look it up on Morning Research, there's more people committing suicide at this rate in 5 months more than ever in history. Why? Because of the emptiness, the vacuum inside. But if you understand that God loves you, Jesus, there is nothing that you can do in him. God will say, do this, and you won't be having no doubt in your heart. You'll be like, man, how many you want me to do? He says, do this, and I'm like, okay, God, let's go. Because why? I say, let's go. Because I ain't going by myself. He included you when he died for you. He did not separate you. Hallelujah. It was the truth about how God loved me is when I really broke the chains over my life. You know, I'm going to read this, Colossians 1:21. It says, this includes you. You are. You were once far away from God. You were enemies, separated from him. By whose evil thoughts? Your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy, you are blameless, and you stand before him without a single wrinkle, without a single doubt. When you stand before God, you should say, yes, I am the righteousness of God. Don't ever let nobody take that away from you. I don't care how bad your past was or how much anxiety you got in the future. The Bible says he stands with you presently. That means he ain't in your past. He ain't in your future. He's right here, right now. That's why he said, this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, R means I'm included in that. I'm not separated. That's why I hate cliques. Because clique means that I have to separate you. And we're the good guys and you're the bad guys. God says, I've included you. Only person that's going to separate is you. If you choose to separate yourself, not him. You know, I remember going in a mall with my dad. And if you all know my dad, he's a real generous guy. You know, I've actually never heard him say no to me in situations, unless he got to work or something. But I remember I didn't have enough money to get something to eat, but I didn't let him know that. Because I was just in my mind like, I don't want a bug. And we was in this food court and I was starving. And I remember he said, Brent, I'm going to go ahead and give me one of these barbecues real quick. And I said, get a barbecue. He said, you want one? I said, no, I'm good. But I know I left my wallet and I ain't want to you know, it was a cycle. I always leave my wallet. I didn't want to admit that I left my wallet. And so we going home. I'm like, man, I'm hungry. He said, boy, why you ain't say nothing? And this is the trip part about it. I never heard him say no to me. But guess what? I was separated in my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how much good God means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That means that you can have a holy, almighty God that loves you, that cares for you, and not receive the good stuff of life. Mm-hmm. Because we were enemies in our mind.
Right.
He said, why are you holding back? Don't you know you should be coming boldly to me?
Yeah.
But he ain't going to control your way. I can't stand people that try to control. Even if it's for something good, you can't control it or you become that evil. So he can't control your will. You have to say, Lord, may I have? And he would say, you know what? I'm going to come. I'm not just going to give you this. I'm going to come in like a mighty wind.
Yeah.
We were enemies in our minds. But God has never been enemy towards us. God brought Jesus to die for our sins. The Bible says he did that. He brought him. Sometimes we think of it like this. Oh yeah, God, I know you got love because of the blood. Yeah, you got to love me now because look what Jesus did. He said, I'm the one that provided that. I'm not tag team partner with the devil. I knew that you had something on your head and it was holding you down in bondage, and I brought my son to die for you so you won't have to feel this bondage anymore.
Yes.
So we have no fault. We have blameless when we come to God. So why do we keep feeling the blame, feeling the guilt, feeling the shame? We're going to read 23. But you must continue to believe. Uh-oh. I'm going to say that again. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. I remember when I heard that. I was sitting on a box in a women's shoe company working, distributing boxes. And I remember hearing it. And it just melted my heart because I know how to work the thing. I knew, okay, if I want this wrestling scholarship, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to get this. I know if I want this paycheck, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to get this. I know if I want this doctorate degree, I work hard and I get it. I apply, I write the papers, I get it. But this was the very first time where I received something. It's not about what you did. It's about what he did. And it just made me cry so hard. Because it was almost like I couldn't contain it. It was so sweet. Hey, you ever taste something so much? That's so sweet. I didn't even know how to receive it. And he said, you know what? You're going to be learning how to receive this every day of your life. He said, when you walk in a room, devils run from you when you operate in love. You're never the one that's trying to run away from the devil. I died for you so you can live victorious in this life. So you don't have to worry and you don't have to fear and you don't have to do none of this stuff that's trying to pull down the reins of heaven. The reins of heaven is inside of you. He says, Satan don't want to give you your title. You're blameless. You're righteous. But do you feel righteous? Uh-oh. That's the difference maker right there. The difference between your heart and your mind. Oh, I know a lot of stuff in my mind. I remember reciting this play in college. And I wrote a paper about it. I got an A+. But if you come to me and ask me about that paper today, I can't help you, bro. Because I learned about it in my mind. I rehearsed it in my mind. But when something is in your heart, it's there forever. Like I said, I deal with Alzheimer's patients all the time. And they, when they have something in their heart, they're like, oh yeah, I know God loved me. But they can't remember my name from yesterday.
Wow.
Because it's in here. It's in a place that's why the Bible says, hide in your heart.
Yes.
And you'll never be alone. Some people hide God in their brain. And that ain't nothing. I can have a person come up here from Lindenwood that we used to do speech together that is an atheist and preach up here and y'all would be, hallelujah. But guess what? If it ain't in your heart, it don't mean anything. This is not something I'm just saying it's in my mind. It's in my heart. So when I love other people, I give like God gives. Why? Because this means something. So it says, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firm in. That means, guess what? I know my leg hurting today, but I'm standing firm that you love me, God. I know my bills ain't paid, but I'm standing firm that you love me, God. I know this situation don't look right, but I'm standing firm knowing that you love me and you gave yourself for me. And can't nothing separate me from you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus because God loves me. He gave his only son. How much have you, will you give your only son to love something so much? That's how much love he loves you with. So how dare I think that he don't love me? That's my mind playing tricks on me. Your mind playing tricks on me. Your mind playing tricks on me. But guess what? If you search deep down in your heart, that part that God has touched you and filled you, you'll know, it's my mind. This is not really how it is. God loves me. He gave his all for me. That's why the Bible says in John 15, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. The fruits that he's talking about, hey, how many of you want more patience? How many of you want to be more kind? How many of you want more joy? All these things that the world says, you get this by the outward. And God said, you get this by knowing that I love you. So when I know God loves me, I can be patient with somebody. Why? Because I'm thinking about all the times he's been patient with me. I can say, I have joy in the midst of this circumstances when I didn't have the money. Why? Because I know God's going to provide for me.
Yeah.
Paul says, I've been abased and I've been abound. But guess what? I know there can't nothing separate me from the love of God. That's the only thing that matters. You know why people go on roller coaster rides? Because they think their circumstances is the Bible. I must be down. God must not love me today. I must be up. God really must love me today. No, that's your mind. God loves you all the time. You on that high roller coaster in his mind all the time. That's why David wrote and Abraham wrote, who are you that you are mindful of me? That you are my friend. You shouldn't be my friend. You should find somebody that's equal to you to be my friend. But you created me and called me your friend. He said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can't do nothing. Go ahead and try to have some joy without Jesus. See how far you get. Go ahead and try to be patient. You know, I love people to get in their willpower. Yeah, I'm patient. Ooh, customer's personality. If they don't move, yeah, I'm patient. Yeah. And that fake smile. Yes. Yes. Lord. You ain't patient. You are not patient. You're trying to be patient. You're trying to produce joy. How you doing? I'm blessed. Thank you. No. When you really have joy, it's an inside burning and nothing can take it away. And it's a fire that consumes your heart. You know, how you doing? I'm blessed. How you doing, brother? It's a relax. It's a trust. It's a something that you say without fear. And people can feel it on you. Pay attention. I've been trying to produce the plastic fruits before, and I know the difference. I'm going to raise money up, and then when I, no. God says, yield. Die to it. Yield to me, and watch me bring it up. I got a leadership meeting. It was like, man, did y'all call Arthur to come preach? This is good. We got, I said, no, Arthur called us. Did y'all call Cecil Paxton? No, Cecil Paxton called us. How did that happen? As I'm in God's love, the phone call happened. We try to make it happen, and then say, okay, now God, bring this bit of the love in me.
Right.
I'm going to do this, and then God, do this for me. You see what I just did? I'm like, I'm holding you on this because I did this. He said, no, hold me on my word. And then let me work through you. Clear that gunk in your heart that's making you think that it's me that's going to work through you if you work through me first. It's me that made the first contact. Remain in my love. I have a scripture, but I probably didn't put it down. And they was talking about how God is love in 1 John 4:8. He is the evidence of love in your life. So anytime you get questionable, just think about all the times that you know you shouldn't have been somewhere. You know you shouldn't have done this. And God still loved you. And God still provided for you. And that will feed your heart. Because one of the things I've learned in life is, if you try to do it without understanding that He has already done it for you, you will live a frustrated life. Amen. This is my last slide, talking about Joseph. At 17 years old, God gave him a dream. He was going to rule over all of Egypt. And his brothers hated him, threw him in a pit, sold into, put in prison, sold into slavery, in chains, in shackles. And he didn't see the promise of God till he was 41 years old. But in the midst of everything he was going through, I want to show you where Joseph's heart is at in Genesis 39. It says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, the traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was a captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in his home of the Egyptian master. This was written while Joseph was on the chopping block. And he was being auctioned off. And actually, this picture is a nice illustration, because when they auction you off as a slave, you don't have nothing on. So the bidders can see if you are worthy, if you're strong enough. And on this auction block, God says, I am with you, Joseph. So even though he was stripped of everything in life, he was blessed. He said, this is the feeling that you should feel. Even if you're stripped of whatever it is that you're trying to get, you should feel blessed. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You should feel blessed if you have it. You should feel blessed if you don't have it, because a blessing is not intangible things.
Yeah.
It's in a spirit that loves you. That's why I hear people, oh, I'm going to be blessed when I go to Alaska. But now God moved you to Alaska, it's a blessing. Because I had a story with my cousin. He was in the gangs and stuff, and he got, Lord told him to move to Texas. And he moved there, and it was just on and popping ever since, amen? So God can't instruct you to move, okay? But if you're moving to try to run from something, that's a difference. Because you know what? You're going to recognize that that thing is inside of you. You're going to attract the same things.
Come on now.
You can put me in California in 3-4 years, I'm going to be preaching. Why? Because that's inside of me. Wherever you go, that's where the blessing goes. That's not where you go, then I get blessed. The blessing is inside of you. Anything else that's telling you different is robbing from you. Satan don't want to give you your title of blessed. That's why when I do the marriage class, I'm going to show people how to give blessings. Don't be like, oh yeah, do you forgive me? Yeah, you all right. No. No, I forgive you, and I just don't forgive you. I thank you for your life. God goes the extra mile. And to let you know that you are assured with me. It's not just a complacent thing, yeah, you be all right, as long as you keep on, if you keep on doing it, you ain't gonna be all right. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you out, brother. No, that's not God. But we've learned the natures of God. We learn the natures of people. Oh, my dad, he don't wanna give me that money right now. I know he cool, but I'll probably get on his nerves. If you pray for something, God is not going to dim the lights of heaven. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. I posted this on Facebook this morning. It says, you will never live a superior life with an inferior attitude. You have to change the thermostat. Because right now you got it on too cold. And you turn the thermostat up. Guess what? You have to wait for a little bit because the atmosphere is not set to the thermostat that you set it to. Joseph said, I'm blessed, y'all, and I'm going to be king of Egypt one day. And they threw him into a... He said, okay, here comes your prize. We're going to throw you into a pit. We're going to sell you in slavery. We're going to see if you're going to be king of Egypt. And 30-something years later happened. He's standing over his brothers. And you know what? When you're a real king, you ain't got to flaunt. You could be humble, man. He says, he told him, his brothers, when they seen that it was him, he says, get up. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to bless you. God may speak a word into your life, but you may not see it later. But you still walk around. You wait for the thing to come so you can be blessed. God's waiting for you to adopt the mentality that you are the most blessed thing walking on this earth because he died for you. That means the curse is off of you. If you're not cursed, then what are you? Blessed. How do blessed people act? Excited. Thrilled because well, I know something coming to me today. Because God loves me. The missing out. That's why I see these people trying to debate on Facebook about Jesus. I'm like, stop it. Your knowledge, power, and your puffing up people ain't going to win nothing. This ain't no Monopoly game. You know, in Monopoly or basketball or football, the way I win is to destroy my opponent. In the kingdom, it don't work like that. In marriage, it don't work like that. You win in an argument, guess what? You don't know you should be sleeping that night. The kingdom way of winning is working in harmony with God and peace, not to beat somebody. I've seen people beat an argument and they hate them more. You just proved your point to them. Jesus, I let them know exactly the things wrong and they just shut up and stop talking about it. He said, yeah, because you ain't showed them me. You showed them you. Showed them your knowledge. He said, why don't you love them to death and see if they know me then? Because they not going to know me by your knowledge. They going to know me by my love. Yeah. This is how that they may know how they are my disciples. By what? How they have love for one another. That's how I can know, oh man, he a disciple of Christ. She a disciple of Christ. You see how she loved that person? And she ain't got to. You see how they sacrificed their life? You must know the same Jesus I know. Yeah. that Jesus will allow you to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we may obtain and find grace to help in time of need. If you have any need, God will not hold back from you anything that you need. I'm going to say that like somebody believe it. God will not hold back anything that you need. We've been educated from the world too long, God. Because the world have their arms and their pockets folded up against you, saying, I'm waiting for you. And God's saying, I'm just waiting for you to expand your heart to know that I love you. I didn't bring you out of Egypt to take you back to Egypt. Cecil Paxton was talking about that. I said, wow, they wanted to go back to Egypt to be a slave. And Moses tried to help them come out of Egypt. He wants you to start planting seeds. Not just in other people's heart. Start planting seeds in your own heart. You can't bless nobody later if you ain't blessed. Wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, you are highly favored and you are deeply loved. And God loves you, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. You hear me? Bible says you have to assure your heart. Why? Because we catch spiritual amnesia sometimes.
Where did love go? I don't know, school.
It must have went somewhere. Because I ain't feeling it today. Love ain't a goosebump. Love is a reality. I had people that owed me money before, and I said, don't worry about it. I come back around, they acting as funny as all get out. I'm like, I didn't give this to you so it can cause a wedge. I give this to you because I love you. And that's the same way when God gave us his son to die for us, he didn't give that to us to cause a wedge to happen. He gave him his son so we can live free. Free in him. And then when people see that freedom, you know what they say? Where your church at? who's your teacher? Where do you learn these things? You don't speak like every other person out on the street. And they want to see where their fire is at. Amen. Because this is what the world needs. After you've done everything that you know how to do, stand in his love. I was out yesterday on my porch, on my patio, just in the rain. I was working on my sermon, and the rain started kind of dripping just a little bit. I was like, oh man, it's about to rain. And I opened up my, what's it called? The umbrella thing, and started winding it up. And I just sat under there, and I had so much peace and joy hitting me. And Lord said, you know what? That's how it is to stay rooted in me. Some people leave because of the rain. You get a flat tire, oh, God must be speaking to me. No. Situation, oh, God must be speaking. He said, you are not letting the elements of life speak to you. Let God speak to you. How many people do that? I mean, that's almost as worse as witchcraft. To think that the elements of this life are preaching to you. These elements are just that, elements. They respond and move. If I get a flat tire, that means that I need to change my tire a month ago. That's what it means. Don't overanalyze who God is. God is love. Period. Period. I said this to a classroom one time. I said, something happened bad. A bus had an accident. Was it God or was it the devil? And this is how I know people have ill teachings, because people just didn't even know how to respond. You know, God is good, y'all. Devil is bad. This is a real easy one here. God does not, he's not the author of confusion. Why would he create you then want to destroy you? Even when I used to make my Legos, I would be mad when I had to destroy them as a kid and put them back in the box. God did not make you whole so he can tear you down. He made you whole because he loves you. Anything that tears you down is of the...
There you go.
Bible says, I only give good gifts. My grandma used to sing a song. Anything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Oh, yes, he did. I said, anything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Oh, yes, he did. Let's stand up. Come on. Come on. Anything that happened to me that was good, God did. Oh, yes, he did. I said, anything that happened to me that was good, God did it. Oh, yes, he did. I said, he picked me up. Me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I said anything that happened to me that was good, God did. Oh yes, he did. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. You've been so good to me on Calvary. You died for me, and you love me. Now I am free, and you love me, and you died for me, so I can be free. Somebody say free. 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 Free.
Free.
God for you, God. Liberate those chains. He loves you. He gave himself for you. So you can clap. So you can rejoice. So you can say, today is going to be a great day. Today is going to be the best day of my life. Because I have no more depression. I have no more fear. I don't have to worry about my kids. I ain't got to worry about my bills. Because you've taken care of all that. Now, since I got that off my mind, I can focus on my lover, my creator. That's what it's about. If I don't get that off my mind, then we worship the bills. Then we worship the kids. The wrong thing. He got your mind. He says, take this stuff off and worship me. I love you more than anything. Please don't let worry captivate your mind and be stuck. I didn't die for you to stay stuck. I died for you to be free. Free. It's like the Holy Spirit is begging and yearning for you to stop worrying. Stop it. It doesn't belong to you. Like a fish belongs in water, you belong in love. You don't produce roots out of worry, out of stress, out of strife, out of envy, out of fear. It doesn't belong to you. You belong to ample amount of joy, peace, harmony. I can be patient. Why? Because it's not dependent on me. He's going to raise me up.
Thank you, Lord.
Those that wait upon the Lord, he will renew me. Capital on he will.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
One person. I ain't even worry about this church, y'all. I can't worry and praise at the same time, too. Light and darkness can't be in the same place at the same time. You got a lot of wonder.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And Even the physics say, once light comes, darkness runs. It flees. This is like the Bible says. I thought that when light comes, it just disappears. No, it don't disappear. It has a meaning and it's going under. When you turn the light on, darkness runs. You can't take darkness out by willpower. You can't scoop darkness out with a shovel. You have to turn the light on. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the light.
Yeah.
And what I give you has to come an understanding in your mind and in your heart that I didn't do this so your mind can be captive any longer.
Yeah.
I did this so you can breathe again. It's like Marie's message. Don't walk around like a zombie. Yes. You can actually be here and not be here. I've seen it happen before. I can preach a message and my mind's somewhere else.
I can preach a 30-minute message, my mind gone somewhere. And I'm not even here. I'm just thinking about this problem. But when I'm here, and I'm really here, and I see what God is doing, removing every yoke and every chain, that's when you really, you say, thank you, Jesus. I ain't got to worry no more. These chains that have me bondage, and fear, and worry, and doubt, I was wondering, I ain't got to wonder no more. Why? Because you love me. That means that if you love me, you won't hold nothing good back from me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You're so good. You're so sweet. Hallelujah. You're so sweet, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just take a deep breath. Everybody go. The Bible says it's not what goes into a man that defiles, it's what comes out of a man that defiles. You may be a hating life, but you know, you take some lemon, you make some lemonade. You take the bricks and you build a house. Like I said, I got robbed, but guess what? I went to 25 different schools to talk about how I got robbed, but you know what? I ain't out. And how that conflict didn't lead to death. I said, I'm going to use this to proclaim who God is. Depression. I was depressed. I was going to the psychologist. He was showing me pictures. I was trying to get out of it. He gave me pills. But guess what? Now, 70% of my clients are dealing with depression. Guess what? Now I can tell all those hundreds of clients, the devil is a liar. You ain't depressed. You just focusing on the wrong things. God loves you. He died for you. You ain't got to stay here. We're not animals. Animals don't have a choice but to be captivated on what's inside of them. But God places us with the imagination. That's why Joseph said, you know what? I'm here. I'm a slave. But I'm a king. Royalty, amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen.